This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Down at Seahawks training camp just a little bit from now. The running of the 12s as they'll open up the berm, and fans will come streaming in here. Are they going to be running, Brock? Are they going to be tripping
yes,
all over themselves?
Yes.
That
yeah.
is one of the highlights.
And I think, you know, as I said earlier, there's some new chalk lines out here. So they now have like a out of bounds.
Yeah.
Right? You see that near the fence. So yeah. they must have had some issues. And they've also got two lines like right down the middle. So I don't know if they've divided people into right field and left field. I don't know if that's the running of the bulls right there, that they just got to tumble if they're going to tumble.
You mentioned
they've
got to
tumble down that area.
Do you see
area.
That chalk outline, though, of where that person went down a couple of years ago?
Oh.
There's like a little body drawn right there
hard.
On the
birch.
Bam!
Yes.
Down they went. Like, oh, man, don't roll all the way down that hill. Roll right into practice.
Doesn't this feel a little bit different today versus our, what is this, our ninth training camp, tenth training camp, something like that? I know you missed one, but Danny doesn't mind if you get thrown right into it, even though that was the year they went to the Super Bowl in 2013. So not that was an important one or that you missed anything fun at all. But doesn't this feel a little different than years past? It does for me, and I think for two reasons. I think, number one, having a baseball team that has dominated a lot of our conscience, a lot of our emotions. Someone's been in a bad mood for a couple days as the A's have climbed in and the Mariners have just gotten stale. But a baseball team that made July fly by.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're just here, kind of like that preseason game will be for these guys in 2 weeks. And then number two, there's just a lot of unknown, which is creates fear and trepidation for some, creates massive opportunity of evaluation for scouts and coaches and others that I think, like you, Mike, to a man would say it did get a little bit stale. It just wasn't quite the same the last few years.
But it's going to take some time to convince people that this is the same thing, that the, you know, you got to ramp back up and that there's a new cast and you got to get to know them. You know, Seattle's fickle, and it takes a little time to get to know what's actually going on. So KJ Wright's going to join us coming up here in a few minutes, so we're looking forward to talking to him. He is one of the mainstays. He is one of the guys who will continue to roll as some of the changes go on around him. And you know, some of that leadership, some of that responsibility starts to fall more on him.
He's kind of a cool case study in all of this, right? As we talk about and you try to define what leadership is. As Chris Peterson said a couple weeks ago, as I'm sure he said to some people yesterday at Pac-12 Media Days, that leadership can be taught. It's not just something, there are some maybe that are inherent alphas that just kind of run with it, and Richard Sherman, or we've had a few of those, Cam. But for other guys, maybe leadership is something that, A, can be learned a little bit, B, taught a little bit. And yeah. after enough years here, I guess, C, what would you want from KJ? He's not going to change character.
I'm torn on this because, I
he reminds me,
part of it sounds like we're talking ourselves into it.
He reminds me of a guy that I played with in Washington. You wouldn't know the name from the 90s, but Ink Aliaga. And any college football fan or diehard Husky fan certainly knew that name in the 90s. And he was like Cam. He was just a silent warrior. He didn't have to say anything. KJ, for I think a bunch of years, Mike, has been in a spot where, what do you want me to say? I'm going to do my job, man. I'm a country boy from Mississippi that's going to go out here and do his job every day. And I'll let those guys take care of the headlines. I'll let that personality go run with it. And I'll be your Pro Bowl caliber weak side linebacker. And I just do wonder now, as so much of that other juice is out, that if he feels like, not to be something he's not, but is there just maybe now some room that you'll get to feel KJ a little bit more than maybe you felt my presence in the past?
I think it's a great question, and it's probably either way not something we'll be able to tell from the outside. I mean, I think that's some of that leadership that goes on inside. It's not like all of a sudden he's going to be making brash statements and pretending to be Richard Sherman. I don't want him to do anything of the sort. It's just, will guys kind of gravitate around him? Will he be one of those players that has an encouraging word or occasionally a stern word for some of the younger guys as they try to get everyone in line and figure out what this new thing is going to look like with a new identity that should be both on and off the field? I mean, I've spent a lot of time talking about the on-the-field change. There's got to be a bit of an off-the-field change in identity as well, and trying to figure out and get back to being who you are. Young, poor, hungry in a lot of cases,
sure.
especially on defense, where the big names are gone. other than KJ and Bobby. The big names have taken off. And so who is going to be the next group, young, poor, and hungry, to come in and work their butt off in order to make a name for themselves?
Well, he's not young anymore. He's not really poor when you play a decade. And he's probably hungry to come back to the Pacific Northwest. You getting some responses on your Ed Dixon tweet?
Yeah, people are excited about my picture.
You're talking identity. There's an eye test that Ed clearly passed this morning.
Dude, he passed the eye test.
I mean, if you want the very start of identity, it starts with your eye.
All right, simple tweet. Just put it out there with a picture of Ed Dixon. You know, this is from far away, so I have to zoom all the way in on an iPhone 10.
Have I done this to you, by the way?
What?
Have I done this? Like, am I responsible?
No,
a little
I think
bit?
This no, is no, something no, no, no. I always would have said.
8, 9 years ago, would
Dude's
you have
jacked.
Done this?
Yes, I think so.
You think so?
Well, I wouldn't have had a nice iPhone.
When Peck Deck James Carpenter came out here, you would have taken a picture of
him. Yeah, but he was all sloppy looking
and
gross.
You are zooming in from far away to take a picture of a man's calves.
Well, it was like, Morris Pecks. It was Morris Pecks,
okay,
Lydia.
Pecks. Okay, do you ever just like take yourself, like just do one of those, like
check
take yourself out of the situation
just check yourself.
And just kind of go, right? Maybe this is kind of odd.
I mean, okay, so before Saul
Well,
Carter,
if he wasn't
on,
a
stop,
professional
stop,
football
stop.
Player, yes.
Stop. Before you carry on and you read the responses,
all right.
Lydia and Ashley, you'll be totally honest with me. We're all like-minded, the three of us, a lot more than Saul. So I'm going to really trust
what?
You guys.
What's that about?
Yeah, we're the cool kids.
Yes.
Well, all right.
Did I do this to Salk? Like, is this my negative influence, you think? Do you think there's any chance in the world 5, 8 years ago Salk would have been so tuned into another man's body? You can be honest with me. Like, put it on me. I don't care. It's kind of my fault, isn't it?
I think Salk has a shrewd mind, and he's always assessing things.
Yes.
So I think the seeds were already there. But, yeah, you probably – I mean, the discussion – probably, yeah, you're partially.
You've added the water.
Lydia, you can say it. Honestly,
you
guys
can say whatever you want, but I'm
going to be honest.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
Lydia, last year.
Lydia, just answer the question.
Lydia, last year.
I got feedback from my. No, you hold on. I got feedback from my ESPN folks on my job yesterday.
They said what?
Lydia sent me like the kindest affirmation ever, but I got good feedback. And the producer said, here's the good, here's the bad. You were too long on a couple of your questions explaining them, and he's right. So, Lydia, I'm going to ask you for just concrete. You can give it to me. I don't care. I can take constructive feedback. Mm-hmm. Is Salk's picture of Ed Dixon focusing on his pecs and calves my responsibility? Like, did I do this to Mike?
Gosh. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Lydia. All right.
All I'm going to say is this, Lydia, and then we're going to talk to KJ Wright. Last year, you stood here with me during training camp, and we watched Blair Walsh miss 6 straight field goals.
Mm.
And we said, this is not a good sign for Blair Walsh this year. And was it? No. When you come down here and stand here with me later today, we're going to look at Ed Dixon, and you'll be like, that dude's jacked. That's all I'm going to say. That's how it's going to go.
Yes.
KJ Wright, good morning, sir. How are you? Nice to see you.
Interesting combo, man.
Hey, you know.
What did I walk into?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's happened to us. Ed Dixon came
out. You
know
out what you walked into? We're sitting here early. It's a beautiful day.
Very
training
beautiful.
Camp's begun. And all of a sudden, Ed Dixon had to come out here. Gun show,
had a shirt
calf
off?
Show, peck deck show. Like, he had just the
no,
whole show.
No, he didn't
show.
Have a shirt off, but he's...
You can see through the shirt.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
What do you think?
He is massive. He is massive.
And you could just say, I mean,
share some of those picks.
For me, I guess, the reason I brought it up is just some of the return to what the Seahawks' offensive identity had been of run the ball, physical, downhill, big plays coming off play action.
Yeah.
And when you see your tight end looks like that, it sure seems like you're trying to run downhill.
It's back. I was talking to Jim Zorn. I went out to lunch with him, and he actually said that. He said, we got these big tight ends, try to bring that identity back because we couldn't really do that in the past. So bring that solid side run game in, get the tight ends to block the DNs on play action passes. We got it, man.
You actually have fullbacks that might run an ISO play looking for the weak side linebacker.
Got 3 fullbacks, and all of them can block. All of them are good.
You'd like Mixed fullbacks, out. Right? You like taking on fullbacks?
No. Not at all. That's how I got my damn concussion last year. Taking a fullback. That's like one back football.
In high school you did. Maybe even in college, but it's a little different when they're all grown men.
Exactly. So I don't mind the fullbacks not playing against them.
Is that the word from your position when you're playing weak side linebacker and you're going to get blocked? How many different positions could block you over the course of a game? A fullback?
Yeah.
Who else? A guard?
All 5 of them can block me on the O-line. Fullback, tight end. Running backs when I'm blitzing.
Wide receiver,
sometimes wide receiver crack.
So over the course of a game, you're going to get blocked by everybody.
Ten people.
Except
the quarterback.
Who do you least? What position do you least want to see coming to get you?
It really depends. I mean, I don't mind taking on blocks. It's not getting it twisted. But sometimes when the fullbacks get you on certain angles, it's kind of difficult to win that battle. Like when I got my concussion, I had a D-line slanting in front of me. So the whole D-line washed down. It was a clean shot. I had to get over the top to turn it back. And then he caught me at that angle, and so I had to turn it back to my mic. So when the certain angles come, that's when I don't like it.
This is training camp. What number for KJ?
Numero ocho.
Numero ocho.
That's eight for
those of you who don't speak Spanish.
No, I'm Spanish.
Lydia does. She's got you covered. She's got no problem with any of that. Does it feel any different? Do any of them feel different than others?
No, this one feels good, though. It feels really good coming into this year, being a true vet on the team. Having my presence felt, sharing what I know. And so it feels really good to go into this year. My body feels outstanding, and so I'm just ready to roll.
It's interesting you say that, because before you jumped on the headsets and we had the body image show, we talked for a few minutes actual relevant stuff of you and Bobby.
Yeah.
Of your voices and the opportunity you guys have here. Is there joy in that?
It's joy. It's a lot of joy. And what I love, you know, we have Coach Norton back, and he's really putting that upon us. He calls on me pretty much every defensive meeting to speak of whatever we go over. He calls me to speak, share what we went over, just send the message and what we want, because we're all on the same page. And it's up to me and Bobby to show how to do it, bring other guys along with us so we can have a good defense.
When you were first here, those eight training camps ago, could you have imagined that would be the case?
I did not see it.
No.
I did not see it. I was talking to Sherm this summer. I was like, yeah, man, what I envisioned when we was all playing together, we go right off in the sunset together, me, you, all the guys. We just go play 10 years and just go from there. But it did happen really fast, and it's part of it, and just comes with it.
So you bring it up. You bring up Sherm. You bring up some of the departures, all of the Pro Bowlers who are gone this offseason. We'll wait and see with Earl, but... You know, what is that like when you're one of the guys left standing here? How does that feel?
I mean, for me personally, I guess it's a good thing. Yeah, I guess that I'm still here. It sucks at the same time that my guys are gone. So, you know, the team, I'm here. So it's up to me to lead this team the right way, show that we still got it, we can still win football games, and just find a way to win the West.
Was it time for some of this to happen? Was it time for some of the change?
Oh, how you gonna ask me that? How you gonna ask that?
I'm asking. Because from the outside, it seemed like it was time for some of the change. Yeah, it felt like maybe it was time. So I'm curious whether from the inside it felt the same way. Without dogging your guys, it's not that you know, sometimes things need to evolve.
Yeah, he left town for like a year and a half.
I did. Yeah. I left and came back, and it was better.
Yes.
Yeah, Brock and I took a break from each other.
That's a hard question. The one that really hit hard for me, hit home for me, was Sherm leaving.
Yeah.
That was my guy. And... he was a great leader, great teammate, hell of a player. So that one really hurt. And so that's all I can
say. But the beauty of it, KJ, is just like 8 years ago, you wouldn't imagine you had been here.
Mm-hmm.
And if Richard was a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
And he, I don't know, I'm sure he's so headstrong. He's like, yeah, I'll be a pro, but I'll show them all. But they had to grow and emerge. Mm-hmm. Right? They had to make something. And now there's so many opportunities in a bunch of these spots for the next guy.
Exactly.
For the next Sherm, for the next Cam, for the next, you know, and that's the nature of this beast. Mm-hmm. Do you feel any of these young guys, like, starting to seize that opportunity?
Exactly. Because speaking of Sherm, I believe Sherm had to have two guys get injured before he got his chance. I had to have a guy get hurt. And you just never know who's who until they actually get that chance. And I believe that you go see these guys come out this training camp hungry. And it's going to be fun to see. It's going to be real fun to see these guys step up and just take the spots that they want and just become pros that they want to be.
What is that fine line they do walk as a young player? Take yourself back there to being such a good listener. I need to listen, but I also have to be just motivated and hungry. How do you balance some of that tension? Hey, man, I'll take this all in, but then I got to bark, too. How do you walk that? How do you advise some of these young guys to do that?
Bark out. What do you mean?
Just I got to make my presence known. Like, I'm not just going to be a bystander here. I'll be a great listener and teammate.
Oh, yeah.
But then when it comes my time, I've got to show and prove.
Oh. Yeah, no doubt. When it's time to listen, no, I take my guys aside, do this, and that. But when you're on the field and it's your turn to get your rep, go all out. Trust your instincts. Do what you got to do. Just be a dog out there. And so... you got to listen to your vets, because we know a lot. At the same time, when it comes to your chance, get it done and make plays, pretty much what it comes down to.
Talking to KJ Wright here in the dawn of training camp here for 2018, if there are a few of those young guys that you could see step up this year, who would help the team the most? I mean, who would you wave a magic wand over and say, okay, if this guy's good, it's going to help us a lot?
Is Chris Carson a young guy?
Sure.
This is second year.
Yeah.
I love T2. I love how he asks questions. He asks a lot of questions because he comes up to me a lot. He asks questions. He's a ball player. He can make plays. And so those two guys.
I'm assuming that's Tedrick Thompson.
Yeah.
Okay. We figured that out.
Two T's.
I get it. It took me a moment, but I came around on it.
Guy from Colorado.
Thanks, NASA.
Number 33. That guy.
Yes.
Those two guys really, I expect big things from them this year.
That's interesting. I don't know that we've heard as much about Tedrick. I think a lot of the assumption in the outside world is that Delano was going to get some of that first shot at strong safety, and we probably haven't heard as much about Tedrick. What is it about him?
Well, he's good. He's sideline to sideline. I remember last year he was killing. I mean, he was really picking off Russell a lot in practice. And so he just played really free. He can come down playing the box. He knows his run fits, so he's going to be good.
Ken Norton any different? You talk about all you guys, the opportunities you have. Ken walked away from here for a couple of years. Huge opportunity to go to Oakland. He's back.
Yeah.
Is he in any different coach, linebacker, coordinator?
Exactly. He had to grow because he was linebacker coach here. Went to Oakland, became a DC, and he learned a lot. He had to learn a lot. He had to learn how to scheme, how to game plan, and then he got let go during the middle of the season, so he had time to refine himself, relearn some stuff that he messed up in Oakland, and so he came back. He just came back on fire, and I loved when he came back.
I remember when he was linebacker coach, fingers all taped up out here, cleats, just going crazy with you guys. And it, just from my little snapshots we get of OTAs and mini camps, it felt a lot more just teacher. I just didn't feel, I didn't hear that much noise. Does he still bark at you guys?
No, he's definitely, he waits until he gets in the linebacker room to do all the barking. In the defensive room, he's a nice, calm, doing the teaching, telling guys the defense. When he gets in the linebacker room, that's when he
gets home. He gets home.
that's home for him.
Maybe the same thing will happen with Sherm. Maybe he'll come back one day and he'll just have grown up and learned something. What do you think? Yeah.
I think so.
You think so? You think he'll come back to Seattle one day?
Yeah.
Really?
I was working out with Kurtz, too. I believe Kurtz will find his way back here.
Well, that I could see. I don't know. The Sherm thing seems hard to imagine.
Sherm for us, KJ, this is what you got to understand. Like, I tell Mike this. When you played, and I didn't play at your guys' level, but I fooled him for 6 years.
Yeah.
And you're just in this bubble. You're just here. You're just in these walls. There's so much schedule. There's so much control. Mm-hmm. And you're just inside of it. It's insulated. When you're on the outside like we are, Sherm, I bet Sherm is the most different. If we polled all the players and the way they felt about Sherm, and those of us on the outside that just see the outburst or see some of this crazy stuff he says, or, you know, it's just that there's a dichotomy or difference there, I think, because I don't think he's alone in just the love and admiration for how hard that guy played.
He gave it all with two messed up Achilles. He gave it all. Great teammate. He shared everything he knew. He coming down there tackling like a damn linebacker. He's just a really good, solid dude. Invite people over to his house to watch the fights. I was over there for the 4th of July, so he's just a good, solid dude. Remind me of Marshawn a lot. You know, a lot of people had a miss. You know,
he's probably number two on that list. One A.
And in that case, you know, he wouldn't talk to the press, so there wasn't really a way to get to know him.
A lot of people had this stigma of Marshawn, but he was a great dude, great teammate, and so I love both of them. Man, I hate that they're gone.
How's your relationship with Pete? What is that like?
It's cool, player coach relationship.
What does that mean to you?
What does player coach relationship mean?
Yeah.
Or him in particular to you.
I mean, I love him as a coach. I love how he guides this team. I wouldn't say there's a personal relationship with us. I have my personal relationship with my linebacker coach, mostly defensive coaches. But it's a good relationship. We're not mad at each other. We don't hate each other. We're good.
That's good.
Yeah, we're good.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
That's
it's
a good
player,
start.
It's player coach.
He's talked about this being a turning year, and it was time to take a turn, is Pete's phrase. What does that mean to you?
I probably refined ourselves. We got away from ourselves. We saw we struggled running the ball. Defense didn't get as many turnovers as we needed to. And so it's time to refine ourselves.
That turnover thing's an interesting one because it's written all over this building, right? It's all about the ball, and I've seen the signs, and Pete talks about it nonstop. And for a few years, I mean, you guys were leading the league in turnovers every year. And the last couple of years, the numbers are down. It certainly isn't for lack of trying or the mentality. Does it have something to do with the way other teams play against you? Like, where do you think that's come from?
I don't know. If you go back to when we were getting the ball, it was, you know, it was different. It felt different. Guys was real hungry. Guys played together, more together as a unit. And as we got older, it kind of things shifted a little bit. And I think that revamping this defense, I believe you'll see that. You see a bunch of hungry guys just after it.
Are you in a contract year too?
Yep.
Yeah. How's that feel?
I'm at peace. I'm at peace. I'm good, man. Because a lot of people ask, my mom be asking me, wife asks me sometimes, you know, what's going on? What's going on? But I'm really in a good place, and I'm happy. Whatever happens, happens. I'll be good. If I don't come back here, I love the Seahawks. I thank them for everything that they've done for me. If I sign an extension, I'll be just as happy to end my career here. So it's good. I'm at peace. I'm about to go out here and have a good, great season, God willing. It's going to be fun.
You guys play a game in 2 weeks?
2 weeks. I saw that. Coach Kirk put up the schedule. I was like, dang, we got a game that fast?
Yes. Yes.
The Chargers, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's Colts. It's, Colts. Yeah. Colts. 2 weeks.
That's wild.
You haven't hit anybody?
You feel ready to play a game in 2 weeks? I mean, it's not, you're not playing 60 minutes, but like, do you feel ready to go out there and...
No, not yet.
You, know, you feel ready to go to practice today?
I ain't put on pads yet. I ain't put on pads since...
Did they fit?
Since December, January.
Oh, hey,
no, I'm not ready.
Last thing for me, you talked about Sherm, everybody else. Have you chatted at all with Earl? Obviously, he's in a contract year. He's going to do what he's done. That's all public. Is there any thought conversation about where he's at?
Talked to him a little bit, and I just want Earl to be happy. I just want Earl to be happy. Yeah, it's sad to see how everything's going, and so I hope we find a way to just get things figured out. I just want Earl to be happy.
KJ, we appreciate it. Thank you, man. Thanks for coming by.
Enjoyed it.
This is pretty fun. Thank you. It's cool to watch you over the years and
yeah
kind of see how much more comfortable you are sitting here and chatting with idiots like us. So thank you.
Why are you asking me that question?
Huh?
That's my favorite line. Yeah, why you ask me that?
I know. I don't know. Why wouldn't I ask you that?
I'm going to use that. Thank you, KJ.
I feel like that's my job. Bye, yeah. KJ. Thank you very much. It's KJ Wright taking a few minutes with us here over at our picnic table as we get ready here watching the Seahawks at training camp this year.
That's a little... If Bobby was a little different a month ago, just a different, what?
Nothing.
I know what you're feeling. There is still going to be. What I love about that is the realness to say, hey, man, Sherm, those guys were my dogs. It's going to be different for these guys until they play with their new pieces.
There's some tension, man.
Sure.
There is still some tension.
Sure.
I mean, you hear it from KJ. I mean, going right talking about Sherm and how much he misses him.
Yes.
The answer on Pete and just kind of like, yeah, he's my coach.
Yes.
I don't think I'm reading too much
into
that.
Well, but. Lydia, Ashley, did you guys hear and feel any of that from your perspective? It's always unique when we're away from the studio. Did you guys feel some of that, just humanity of, yeah, it's different, and those guys were my guys?
Absolutely. I mean, KJ's just one of those real guys.
He is real.
That's what I was so excited when we were going to have him on today. I was like, it's about to get real. We're going to start training camp off right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's just going to keep it real, and that's exactly what he did.
And you know what, honestly, Mike, and that didn't surprise me. That really didn't, because from a play, he is sharing with you from the player's perspective, not coach, mm-hmm. not GM, not fan, right, where the coach has to move forward. Exactly what he said. It's player coach with Pete. What? He directs this team, man, and I'm going to follow that. The GM, everybody else got to do what they got to do. They're excited about these young guys. Some of these players... You know, and I think we had like a Blue 42, or we had even a segment about this the other day, talking about who this will be hardest for. It's going to be hardest for Bobby. It's going to be hardest for Doug. Richard was his brother. You just heard it from Cage. It's going to be hard for these guys when you go to war for 8 years and you lay everything on the line. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
Until we play, until we hit, until I get some battle scars with this group, yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be emotional. Yeah.
One quick thing that struck me, just real quick, is the fact that he kind of is that keep it simple guy,
mm-hmm.
and whether it's hearing from Ryan Healy that's like what he needs to work on. Jake Browning was talking about it at Pac-12 Media Days. Like, that is a huge part of people's game that I think is maybe overlooked. Keeping things simple, and KJ Wright to me is that guy where he can just eliminate distractions. He like purely loves football, and he's just like the keep it simple
guy. I think you heard a little bit at the. I agree with you, Lydia, and you heard a little bit at the end of, all right, well, why? Where have the turnovers gone? I think he sort of answered the question without answering it on the need for some of the change. Yeah, kind of gotten away from us a little bit. We need to simplify. Guys got to get back to doing their job. And you can miss some of those guys off the field, and you may miss your brother who's now down in San Francisco or whatever. But he makes the case himself that this change was necessary.
Yes.
That if the turnovers weren't happening because guys were too much freewheeling or whatever, then get back to doing it the way the system's supposed to be run. And
yep.
I'm looking forward to seeing what that actually looks like out on the field. All right. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. We are over at Seahawks training camp. The crowds will be out shortly. The music will be starting up in the next hour. Practice gets going at 10 o'clock. KJ Wright took the time to join us, and we got some cool headlines for you next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Pretty fun to chat with KJ Wright. It's Brock and Salk down at Seahawks training camp here, 710 ESPN Seattle. And this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. All right, half hour from now, Brock, we will go through the 10 biggest storylines in order, ranked, here of Seahawks training camp. Well, they're sort of ranked. 9 of them are ranked, and then there's a wild card that's got to get slotted in there somewhere. And that's what I'll rely on you for. But, man, it's kind of interesting with KJ. I mean,
what's been the response on the text one?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people all over the map? All over. Some people are mad at me for God knows what. But a lot of them were just, you know, that was awkward when you asked about Pete. KJ really surprised me with his answer about his relationship with Pete. That was a head-scratcher. Yeah. I heard it. There was a lot of tension there. That Pete answer was not very warm. I got a couple personal texts as well just saying, hey, what was the deal there? I don't know. Maybe it was nothing. I mean, look, you've told me before. I don't want to make too much of this.
Yes.
You've told me before that often the relationships that guys have, we tend to think of them as being from the outside with the head coach. And more often than not, it's with their position coach, much more so. I mean, they barely see the head coach or talk.
I don't think there's any question about that. Now, is Pete going to spend a little more time with KJ and Bobby and Doug and Russ and some of those veterans to make sure that things are implemented with this young crew? Mm-hmm. Yes. But clearly, the relationship is with Bobby, number one. Number two is with Ken Norton. And, you know, the number three is probably even people on that defensive side. And then Pete is his coach. But you also, and I hope we're in store for more of that honesty, to actually be able to talk about this stuff instead of the last few years.
I would agree with that.
Pretending that it's not there. It is there.
I'm an East Coast guy. We like to get this stuff out.
Yes, you do.
If there's some tension, if there's a problem, if you're mad at me, I want to hear about it. Let's go.
That's exactly right.
Let's work this stuff out in public.
Because the last few years, it was kind of fake, and then you'd hear a little blurb like, oh, yeah, Pete's kumbaya meeting. You'd hear a little bit of that out, but not some of the tension that's there. And the two names that KJ referenced, that's also, you know, I mean, understand where he's coming from. He referenced Marshawn and Richard. Those are my guys. Those are the misunderstood guys. Those are guys that love players, had a hard time with coaches.
It's funny,
had a hard time with authority.
Because KJ doesn't, I mean, from the outside, when you start, you know,
yes.
I have to, like, backtrack 5 different ways to make this point, because I say over and over again, we don't know these guys. You get a sense of a personality that they're giving you either in the media or on camera or just on the field, but we don't know them at their core. We don't hang out with them. And when I say we, I mean all of us, the media, the fans, everybody.
Yep.
We don't hang out with them in their little lounge inside there. We don't really know who's who, which is why I never understand the defenses of these guys when they do something awful. Like, oh, he would never do that. Like, how do you know?
Right.
Who the heck knows who would do what?
Right.
It's sure, like, if you would ask, okay, so who's KJ on this team?
Closest to
Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch don't compute right. with the images we have of all three of those guys.
You have, Marshawn, this whole spectrum, and whether it is in a radio station, whether it's in this building behind us, I say this, whether it's in your school office, whether it's Mike Leach out of the 12 coaches in the conference, which is the most anti-authority? Mike Leach walking in with his In-N-Out bag and double deluxes and eat him as loud as he could in front of Larry 15 minutes late, and Larry's going to say nothing about it, right? That's a little of the Marshawn and Richard spectrum as far as authority goes.
Sure.
On the other end of it's probably Russell. Like, yep, I'll do everything, whatever, yep, yes, yes, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, yep, we'll go down. And you thought, I thought, KJ probably bent a little bit more that way. But I think you feel from KJ like, hey, man, this has exposed it. It's been really hard to see those guys go. Those guys that love teammates, had a struggle with coaches, and obviously now are playing elsewhere.
Yeah.
Probably to a degree because of some of that.
Well, it'll be interesting. I guess that's another storyline we'll be following in sort of what this all looks like. But this has been Pete's strength in the past, and putting these things to bed and not really, you know, letting them get out of hand. So I thought that was fun. I'm really happy KJ came by. I'm glad he was as honest as he was. I thought it was interesting to hear him mention Tedrick Thompson, T2, as being one of the guys.
Did you get it right away, or did you have to think?
It took me a second.
And me too.
Did you? I mean, I got it before you did.
Yes,
I got it.
Well, I was still trying to listen to KJ.
I was trying to figure out who T2 was. Tedrick Thompson. Oh, that's there it is. So he mentioned Chris Carson and Tedrick Thompson as a couple of guys that he's expecting big things from, and that'd be great. I'd be pretty excited for those two guys to step up. I did wonder whether the Tedrick thing is because he's a free safety and Earl's not around, and whether there was some element of like, hey, this is the guy that I'm kind of expecting.
Hey, last thing, because I do want to get to these headlines that you wrote, and I appreciated a bunch of them. Last thing there from KJ is just, and this is also a carryover in any sport, especially in baseball, maybe more even than football. Baseball guys respect those that have been there and done it. There's something about that baseball just pedigree of your years of service that goes down like to the third decimal point on Baseball Reference. Like, you've been there, you've done it, you've achieved. I so respect that experience. You know, Mike Blowers, when you hear Mike Blowers as an analyst compared to like football analysts, you're going to hear a guy that has a real reverence for those that have done it, a real respect for what they are doing. I think that's also what emanated from KJ a little bit. Is I'm not going to lie, there was like real talent that got this thing done. They didn't talk about it. That didn't project, hey, can he do it? There wasn't potential. Like, they did it. This track record right here of Earl and of Richard and of Cam and these guys did it. And I'm not going to pretend here on day one of training camp, speaking for KJ, that, hey, man, we're all good. Because this batting lineup, this batting lineup got a lot of guys that have not had a lot of at-bats.
That's all fine, but you know what? Eventually, guys get over the
hill.
They
need their
at-bats. Well. And KJ said it himself. Where have the turnovers gone the last few years? Well, maybe we need to just get to back to playing simple and doing our thing.
And I didn't control the, you know what we have to do? Control the zone. You know you got to do the little things. You know what you got to do? Bunt them over. You know what you got to do in baseball? Don't go to sleep for five innings. You know what you got to do? All those things as a group, not just my own individual numbers, not just my own individual stats, and the same thing on defense. You know what I got to do? I got to play that A gap. Well, can I wiggle a little bit? No, you can't. Because if you wiggle a little bit, now you're going to get an angle on me that is going to be disadvantaged to me. You got to take that A gap. I'm going to play, you know, the deep third here. Can I jump this route? No, you can't jump this route. You've got deep third. Go play deep third. But I know what's coming.
Well,
I've seen it 50 times. I can make this play. No, you can't do it everybody else.
All right, let's get to a few headlines we do and don't want to see here over the course of these next few weeks at training camp. Brock, I got a few for you.
Okay.
Some headlines I would like to read and a couple headlines I would least like to see at training camp. I think we have some music.
Some headline music.
Yeah, there it is. Intense music.
That's
all right.
Very intense.
One headline I would like to see. Earl Thomas dealt to Houston for a second-round pick. Would you like to see that?
Yes. They kind of owe us. They failed Lane on the physical.
Yeah. I'm not spiteful or vindictive. It doesn't have to be Cleveland or whatever.
Just clarity.
But like, yeah, go to Houston.
Just
some,
clarity.
Some place that you hadn't even really thought of.
Yep.
One headline I would not like to see. Frank Clark calls out team over Earl Thomas situation.
Yes.
It's possible. Frank's got his own thing going with his contract.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to say he's quite the same at peace as you just heard from KJ Wright.
Yeah.
A headline I would like to see. Brandon Marshall catches four touchdowns in first two preseason games. I kind of like to see Brandon Marshall be good and be that goal line threat that Jimmy Graham was.
I will be very curious how they manage Brandon Marshall. The 49ers, who pass Richard Sherman on his physical... He earns his $2 million bonus because he's on their roster, not on the physically unable to perform, have said, we're going to practice him 2 days, off a day. We're going to manage those bad Achilles that KJ talked about. What are you going to do with Brandon Marshall? That's a headline, or at least that's an attendance and roll call. I'll be very curious watching.
One headline I would not like to see, Jaron Reed, Frank Clark separated at practice after altercation.
These are good headlines.
Remember those two guys got into it on the field a few years ago? Like, I don't want to see Frank Clark fighting with anybody again this year.
Yeah, that
was so disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah, Jaron's going to be a fascinating guy. If KJ and Bobby have got to maybe learn to be a little bit more vocal, Mike and Todd, Jaron has that in him. And he has been the one that's probably been subdued by Cliff and by Michael and probably subdued as much as anybody on that side. Mm. He could be... In fact, I anticipate him being the most vocal of any young guy
He's
that we've
volatile.
Seen. Yep.
One headline I would really like to see this year during training camp. Deion Jordan full go in practice.
And that starts today.
I want to see a lot of Deion Jordan.
That starts today.
Big expectations.
Well, did he pass the physical? Right? Is he ready to go? Did Brandon Marshall pass his physical? Are these guys are going to start on the physically unable to perform? Mike, they've got 11 practices. They're off 2 days over the next 2 weeks. They don't practice Wednesday and a Saturday. They're going to play in a game. KJ just said it.
Yep.
He didn't even know who they're playing. Like, yeah, 2 weeks. Coach put that up. Like, whoa. That's right. 2 weeks you're going to play, so every rep and every practice matters.
One headline I would not like to see this year during training camp, Jerron Brown released. I'd like to see him make the team and be good.
I wouldn't mind that.
All right.
That would mean that the other guys have outperformed him, and even with $1 million guaranteed or so, sorry, you weren't as good.
Headline I would like to see during training camp this year, Brock. Trey Flowers challenging Maxwell for right cornerback job.
Love that.
I would like to see the rookie step right in there and kind of show that he's got it the same way you saw last year.
We
Shaquille Griffin
are going to see that.
Good.
That will be a headline.
Headline I do not want to see. Anything that starts with Sierra.
Well, really?
I don't want to hear any leveling up.
Level
I don't
up,
want to hear anything
up.
About yummy and tummy.
Level up. Level
I don't
up.
Want any Sierra headlines
level up, level
whatsoever
up.
During training.
When
camp.
I see Sierra today, tomorrow, whenever it is,
you're
I'm going
to level up to her?
Level up. Level up.
Don't do that.
Level up. Level up.
Please
why,
don't.
Why not?
Just, I don't know.
I'm not
going to
say yummy in the tummy.
I'm going to give you one more I really like. I want to say. This is probably the one I want to see the most.
All right.
Delano Hill sent home for hitting too hard in practice.
That's not going to happen.
I want to see that headline.
That won't happen.
All right. Could it be something just akin to that?
Maybe.
I want to see that guy laying people out. So there you go. Some fake headlines. None of those have happened, but things that we would like to and not like to see this year over the course of Seahawks training camp. Those are the fake ones. We got some real ones for you next. Good news, bad news, no news coming up on Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news.
Yeah!
No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Oh, one big piece of news today. We are at training camp, man. It is underway. Practice just over an hour from now, 10 o'clock start. Guys will all be coming out shortly, running through this little tunnel here and heading out to play in front of the 12s, man. It's pretty cool, I will say. The only problem I have with the start of training camp is that it signifies some of the end of summer for me, and I feel like summer just started.
Yes.
And I love the summer. So the only problem
but
is the
summer's going to be totally amplified this weekend for you in the North Cascades.
It's true.
Time of your life. You're going to camp. Going to have an absolute blast.
I'm psyched to go camping, man.
Howdy's listening right now, putting the stakes in the ground.
Do you think I should bring a spear in case I need to throw it into the water and, like, spear a fish?
Spear fish?
Yeah. Do you think I should bring a spear?
You should go for it. Good news, bad news, no news.
What else is in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Since y'all are at training camp, it is predicted and projected that Earl Thomas will be no-show today.
Love the alliteration. That's good news right there. Predicted and projected. He's going to be a no-show. You heard from KJ. We'll get back to some of KJ's sound at 9. There was some really, really good, I think, honest, vulnerable sound. He just wants Earl to be happy. You're going to hear that from Bobby. You're going to hear that from Russell, all of them. They just want Earl to be happy. He's not happy. He doesn't have his contract. He doesn't have his deal. And you know what? He's got $40,000 due every day for every day he's going to miss and not play out this contract. So this is no news. This was predictable news. And I don't think it affects anything as these guys get to work in an hour.
Yeah, it's bad news. Sorry, man. I mean, it may not be new news, but it's still bad news. Earl Thomas, one of the better players on this team. The best thing for the Seahawks would be if he just played out his contract.
Bad news was when Cam no-showed and nobody had any idea
and
it waylaid it.
It is still
bad
news.
That was bad news.
This is still bad news.
This is no news.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you there.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Out at Pac-12 Media Days, Brock Huard. It was amazing, by the way. But Pac-12, the UW pick to win the Pac-12, not only the North, but the Pac-12 championship.
All right, first of all, no news that Brock is amazing. We all know that.
Right,
I mean, you put him in his element there, Pac-12 Media Hour. That is his time to shine. UW pick to win the North? Yeah, I mean, I got to say, that's kind of no news. I mean, who else would it be?
Stanford
I saw they
second.
Got, what, 40, 40 out of 43 first-place votes or something like that?
There's much more parity in the South where I think, what, five different teams?
Yeah, the question is, how many people pick them to win the Pac-12?
37. They got 37 of the 42.
To win the entirety of the conference or just to win the Pac-12 North?
No, 40 of 42 to win the North, 37 of 42.
Well, that's
to
pretty
win
impressive, man. Yeah. That's a pretty impressive deal, and now they're going to have to go out there and live up to it.
In the scheme of
and
things,
I think they can.
In the scheme of things, it's no news. It was, again, I'll say projected and predicted. We talked about it earlier in the week that they were going to be the front runner. When your seniors come back to school, like they did on Montlake, they didn't at Stanford, they came back to school. You've got a veteran quarterback, a veteran running back, two senior tackles that'll play in the league, the number one defense largely returning over the last 2 years. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was understood. It was projected, and for that, no news.
Some of these texts are funny.
On
my spear.
Oh,
the only thing Salk's going to spear is himself. So Salk will buy a spear for a one-time camping trip, but not a shovel for his home that he'll live in for years. If Salk takes a spear camping, he better also take someone with the guts to use it. All right, it's enough. What else is in the news?
Good news, bad news,
jerks.
No news.
While enjoying the off day, the Mariners go 3-2 on the past homestand.
That's good news. And I think good that yesterday was a win that was just like so many of the 61 others this season. Right now, with the state of affairs, with Nelson, with 3, 4, and 5 not hitting and not hitting to their baseball card, and no Robbie Cano still for another couple weeks, you're going to have to do it the Mariner way. And the Mariner way is starting pitching. It is closing it out with a filthy Eddie Diaz. That was good news yesterday.
Good news that they won yesterday. I'm sorry, 3-2 homestand against these two teams is bad news. You're playing Chicago and San Francisco. This was a 4-1 homestand. While the A's win every single day, yeah, this was your opportunity. And it's not like, I can't quite say it's horrible news. I mean, you still won more than you lost. But they're going to be in a dogfight here the rest of the way with the A's just a game and a half back against that kind of competition. You'd like to see them go 4-1.
I just feel like it's never easy. It's just not going to be easy.
Even not for this team.
20 games over 500.
They don't have that kind of talent for it to be easy, Brock. They're a scrappy, grinded out, and that's what's made them so lovable and fun when they're winning. But when they don't, they're detestable because they just don't have the talent.
And by the way, can I also spin this in a fairly good news? You're only 4 back of the Yankees for the first wild card. You're also only 5 back of the Astros. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, Mr. Altuve with a knee injury. Mm. Mr. Correa still finds himself out. They were one hit by the guy in Colorado, Gray, that did the same thing to the Mariners yesterday.
Can you imagine when it's all said and done, the A's win the division, the Mariners get the wild card, and the Astros are left out?
Let's go.
At least the A's got to go to Colorado right now.
It would be impossible to imagine, but wow.
They don't hit home runs, though, Letty, so, you know, I'm sure Colorado.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Good news, bad news, no news.
It's kind of a weird story. The NFL apparently has put ticket sales on hold for the Seahawks game in London. Why? Because they don't know if the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium will be ready.
What?
The what?
Is this why your love affair for London and all this garbage?
What?
You love these London? No, you should love these London games.
Look at them.
So, oh, now Salk's
the 12s are running.
Good. Wow.
They're on the run.
And we've lost him.
They're coming down the berm.
Salk is
heads up. Look out, everybody.
We lost.
Here come the 12s.
Did I just forget about all those stories?
Yeah, okay. That's right. That's good news, bad news, no news. We do it every single day. And for, I don't know, about a dozen of these training camps, we get to see this every day. We get to see the running of the 12s. By the way, that line down the middle, that was certainly not for the running of the 12s.
No, they broke right
they
through.
They scattered across the whole premises to get their spot.
Wait, breaking news. We have breaking news, Ashley. Just want to make sure they got this story
Uh-oh.
In.
What's
Ed
that?
Dixon is jacked.
Totally jacked.
Wow.
Good news, by the way. Really good news. Took the picture, tweeted out earlier if you want to see it. Ed Dixon completely
What do you think
jacked.
Most impressive? Hey, calves, pecs, shoulders?
Pecs followed by calves, followed by shoulders.
Okay, great.
Hey, it's bad news. It's not sports related, but did you see the story that the show box is going to go away? What a bummer, man.
79 years.
What a huge bummer. Not the Soto one, but the show box market is going to be knocked down here, and they're going to build housing in that spot. I know this is not the time really or the place. We don't talk about this stuff in general, but you know, I've lived here for 9 years, so I'm probably more part of the problem than I am part of the solution. But I really hope we can find a way as a city to find a way to balance the need for growth and the need for more housing, which we need, with ways to keep the character and history of the city
sure.
down. There have been a couple places like this in that area. I used to go to Two Bells Cafe all the time.
Hmm.
I think it's Cafe Two Bells, a little bar down in Belltown. Had some of the best burgers in Seattle. Really old joint, gone. This place now going to be gone. I mean, like, we've just seen a lot of them
well,
over the last
few years.
Well,
they're keeping the Key Arena roof, though. That's a good thing.
Thank God that that's a historic landmark.
Yes.
But the Showbox, which everybody loves, is in one of the best venues I've ever been to for a concert, is going to be out. I love that we're building housing. Can we find a way to make it not everything look the same like every other city in the country and have like just some character?
Yeah, you figure that out.
Bad news.
Find that solution.
Bad, bad news. That and people sending me pictures of bears attacking campsites.
Oh, yeah.
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
There are no bears.
Oh, there's a lot of
there's
them.
There's no
why
bears.
Why do you think I said to you, go to the North Cascades?
That's where we're going.
I know. Why do I think I sent you there?
You think there are bears there?
I don't think.
You know so?
I know there's
I'm bringing
bears.
Bug spray, though, so I should be totally fine. The 10 biggest storylines of camp revealed in order next on Brock and Salk.